More than 94% of our law grads get jobs in the open market within 10 months of graduation. That's better than Harvard and Yale. Join the powerhouse. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu. What impact will blockchain have in the sports industry? Associate Dean Tanya Evans joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Tanya, when people think about blockchain and crypto, they primarily end up associating it with Bitcoin or financial angles, things like that. What parts of the sports industry could be affected by this technology?
It's a great question, because when we think about blockchain and distributed ledger technologies, crypto assets, as you said, people really do focus on Bitcoin. Bitcoin is one of many use cases that can be built on top of blockchains and leverage blockchain technology in a range of ways. So, for instance, one example is what Spencer Dinwiddie, he's an NBA player with the Nets, recently signed to a 3-year contract, multi-million dollar contract. And what Spencer has devised is a way to invite investors using cryptocurrency related to the Ethereum network to actually invest in his career, on the promise that over 3 years he's going to have this multi-million dollar contract fulfilled. He'd like to see all of that money up front. And so selling cryptographically secured tokens that investors would receive interest on their investment and any additional benefits or bonuses that he might enjoy later. Now, it's a risk because he may not earn out his contract. He may blow out his knee in the first year. He may not use his third-year option, which is where a considerable amount of money is. But using the best parts of blockchain to and smart contract technology to automate the investor operations is a really unique way to bypass some of the trappings of earning contract money in the sports world. And that's a really exciting use case that, although the NBA is not very excited about it, what they're coming up against is you can't tell the athletes what to do with their money. You're not picking their car, you're not picking their home, you're not picking their business investments. And once they receive it, it would actually, in Spencer's case, go into his own corporation where he is setting up this investment strategy. So that's really, really interesting, because it goes above and beyond cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin to be investment.
Like decentralizing the stock market.
Absolutely, absolutely. And removing the middlemen that often exact a premium that stand between the party who is investing and the investment opportunity, right? And it's removing that barrier and having direct to investor access that makes it really exciting.
Now, has he basically been the first? Is there other athletes that are considering similar avenues?
He is the first professional athlete to do it in this way. There are some other platforms. So in the minor league baseball platform, not using blockchain or cryptocurrency, but setting up a fund where minor league ball players who don't get a lot of money at all. They're just a paltry amount when you think about it. But having a corporation set up to give them money in advance with the hope that they will get signed to the majors. But that's a more traditional setup through a corporate structure. Spencer Dinwiddie is the first to specifically use crypto assets, specifically a crypto security, in this way.
What's the worthwhile to the people buying into it?
So they are looking at the prospect. You know, it's there's a great degree of risk involved when you think of I'm investing in and relying on the performance of a person to satisfy whatever terms, to make sure he's playing, to make sure he's not injured. And so there's this risk factor. But the upside is you have a very clear indication of what is owed in a traditional environment where you have an employer and an employee and front-facing terms of this contract. So this is multi-million dollars. I think it's $34 million over 3 years, the latter part built in. The opportunity to invest on the front end means that you have a greater likelihood of success on the back end, although there are no guarantees with investments. And I can imagine that fans who invest can also participate in some other things. So athletes, the money that they earn playing can be very small in comparison to the sponsorship opportunities.
Right. Endorsement deals are huge.
Endorsement deals are ginormous, right? Multi-million up, you know, by the time they do it over the years can take you into the stratosphere. And so the opportunity present to participate there. There could be other investor-only opportunities through other crypto assets. You could use it like a fan base or something of that nature. And so they have complete access to someone who they ordinarily wouldn't in a way that makes it really exciting, particularly in sports.
Now, have there been any, like the FTC or anyone else, raising questions about doing something like this?
Well, it appears that Spencer, because this is a security, it sounds like what we call a Regulation D or Reg D offering, which means if you provide a bunch of information up front that you, the party who is offering the investment contract opportunity, would not have to go through the more formal process that is ordinarily required from the Securities and Exchanges Commission or the SEC. So he's doing everything by the book. So from the SEC's perspective, as long as he follows the rules and does the offering or does the exemption paperwork and it comports, they don't have a problem with it. The only entity that seems to have a problem with it is the NBA.
Right.
The Players Association, he actually ran it by the Players Association, and there was nothing in the bargaining agreement that would prohibit him from approaching it in this way. And he's done a number of interviews that said, I'm happy to do whatever's necessary. I don't want a beef with the NBA. I'm happy to be here, happy to play, but you've not, speaking him to the NBA, articulated a clear reason as per the terms of this bargaining agreement why I can't do this.
Right.
And he's willing to go to the mat for it and to figure out how to do it because he really is the test case for other athletes.
So at this point, the union and the league just kind of seeing what happens, and there's no like suits or anything at this point, I'm assuming?
Not any lawsuits that I know in the moment. They continue to negotiate about it. There was the NBA put out a statement that said, you can't do this. And he said, okay, why? And
yep. Which is typical, right? I mean, that's how it works in the business world. I mean, you can't do this. Like, well, why? And they go, maybe this? And then things go to court a lot of times.
Exactly. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, right, to be sure. It's often so expensive to litigate, and there are a lot of eyeballs on it. I think at the end of the day, when you follow the money, perhaps the NBA just wants to find a way to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably opportunities to do that as well, because in the same way that Spencer is monetizing his contract, in a sense, there are opportunities for teams to do that. There are opportunities for the NBA to do it.
What was his reasoning for going with Ethereum versus another cryptocurrency?
It's a great question. Each network has its own benefits. The first blockchain was the Bitcoin blockchain, released into the wild by Satoshi Nakamoto, this character, person, entity, group we're unaware of. This is a great mystery. But that network, although it is a series of really scripts that are running autonomously, that wasn't built to do what the Ethereum network was built to do. The vision of Ethereum that was created in or about 2014 was to truly be the world's virtual computer, that it would support programmable code and run from very simple smart contracts to very complex ones and support things like decentralized autonomous organizations with thousands of complex smart contract codes running on top of Ethereum. And so it really is the one that best supports it. Now, there are others that do that as well. This is just one of the ones with a vibrant community, and one of the ones that has proven its value and its worth to support smart contracts in this way. In fact, another interesting use: Nike just received a patent on tokenizing their shoes. And this would do a couple of things. And I read briefly some of the claims that were stated in the patent application. One is cutting down on, or I should say this, protecting the authenticity or verifying the authenticity of actual Nike shoes. And so that's going to cut into gray market, black market sales for sure. It can also track the exchange or transfer of them over time. They've also created something that looks like something I wrote about, CryptoKitties, cryptography and copyright, where, long story short, it involves non-fungible tokens, which means each one is unique. And in that way, they're allowing them to quote unquote breed like a CryptoKitty. Look up CryptoKitties to get a better explanation. But it's about one shoe and another shoe being combined, really, to form a unique shoe that didn't exist yet, and they would output that. Really, really cool stuff going on in the space above and beyond the sponsorship and endorsement and investment opportunities to do what we call tokenizing real-world assets, meaning a cryptographic digital representation of something that exists in real life in a way that you can track it and cut down on theft, not theft necessarily, but inauthentic or counterfeit goods.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. See you next Thursday. Earn your JD from UNH Franklin Pierce School of Law and join the powerhouse in legal education. Now accepting applications. A top 100 law school ranked fifth for intellectual property law. Apply today at law.unh.edu.